بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. آمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. We thank and we praise our Creator and our Sustainer for all our blessings. And I want us to focus on one blessing in particular today, the blessing of our beloved children. And if you don't have children yet, may Allah grant you healthy, pious children, inshallah. If you don't have a partner to make the children with, may Allah grant you a beautiful, pious partner as well, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, I'm blessed to be a father myself, a father of three young daughters, aged approximately 3, 4, and 5. Can't keep up sometimes with the ages. And when you're with them, it's beautiful. And a bit of hard work also sometimes. And a bit of patience sometimes. But when they are away from you, when they go away from you, a part of your heart always worries about them, always thinks about them, always prays for them. Ya Allah, look after them. Ya Allah, let me see their faces again. It's one of the things that Allah has put into our hearts. If you think about your children now, they have a special place in your heart. Just the picture of their faces evokes a deep emotion in our hearts. It's something that is put there by our Creator. And one of the challenges that I experience, and I'm sure you can relate, is how to find the balance in parenting. And I'm going to describe two ends of the scale. How do you find the balance in parenting? On the one side, I want to keep my child or my children, my son, my daughter, I want to keep them safe. I want to keep them protected. I want to keep them in a good environment. I want to shield them from the harms. That's on the one side. On the other side, as a parent, I know that the world is not safe. So I want to also, in a sense, prepare them for the world. I want to give them the tools to deal with the challenges of the world. I want them to help them navigate this challenging environment. So on the one side, there's the idea of protection, of guarding, of safekeeping. On the other side, there's the idea of education and preparation for the world. And if one goes too much in either extreme, it's negative. If one protects and guards too much and isolates your child too much, it becomes unhealthy because they won't be able to function in this complex world. On the other hand, if you expose your child too much at the wrong age, it could cause damage to them. It could cause harm to them. So this is the balance that we struggle with as parents. The balance that we struggle to find, where is this balance? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about this. Where he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Kullukum ra'in." All of you are shepherds. "Wa kullukum mas'ulun 'an ra'iyatihi." And all of you will be asked about your flocks, about those that you guarded. And if you think about the metaphor of a shepherd, just think about it. Does a shepherd normally tie the sheep to a pole? No. What does a shepherd do? He lets the sheep out. And he takes the sheep out into the world to where? To a safe space to graze. So in other words, the sheep has some freedom. They can graze. But while they are grazing in that space, what is the shepherd doing? The shepherd is looking out for the wolves. They are looking out for the wolves that might come attack his flock. So this is the balance of a shepherd. The shepherd doesn't keep the flock locked up all the time. The shepherd takes the flock out into the world, but keeps the flock in a safe space. My child, you can graze here. This is a safe space to graze. I'm watching, I'm looking out for those wolves. And there are many of those wolves today. And there are universal standards. There are Islamic standards and there are universal standards that agree. 100% agree. Everybody in this dunya practically agrees that there are certain spaces that are not suitable for children. Everybody agrees. For example, for a young child to get exposed to explicit sexuality, everybody agrees it's unsuitable. That's why they put a rating on the media. In fact, this khutbah comes from some work I did for the Film and Publication Board. Some consulting work I did from them. And it alarmed me, some of the things that I found. But we all agree, Muslim, non-Muslim, everybody agrees, there are certain things like explicit sexuality that is not suitable for a young child. There are certain things like gratuitous violence, extreme violence, it is not suitable for a young child to view. There are certain things that young children should never experience. Physical abuse, emotional abuse, they shouldn't experience these things. So what I want to say is that in our battle and in our struggle to find the safe grazing space, there are spaces that we all agree are not safe spaces. And I hope you agree too. There are certain spaces that are not healthy for your child. And today I want to address one of those spaces. And it's this space here. This space here. This is the space I want to address. Technology usage. Because now your children, they have smartphones, and they have tablets, and they have laptops, and even the school says you have to buy one, and they have their chat groups. Is this a safe grazing space? And what type of shepherd are you? That's the question. What type of shepherd are you? I want to address four things today, inshallah. The first thing I want to address four of the wolves that lie in this. Four wolves. The first one is called cyber bullying. Now, if you're a bit old, you know bullying without the cyber. In other words, you know about you were on the field one day and a few guys came and they beat you up for your lunch money, or they just made some fun of you. You know that bullying. But now you get something else with that bullying called cyberbullying. What is that? That is when your child, your son, your daughter, our sons, our daughters, when they are not being bullied physically, they are being bullied emotionally. And how are they being bullied? They are being bullied online. They are posting photos of your child and a string of comments about them, insulting them, mocking them. Now you think, what is worse? On the playground, a few guys beating you up for your lunch money? Or on your child's Facebook page, hundreds of comments insulting them? Trust me, the second one is worse. The second one is worse. I want to quote you some stats in case you think that this is not prevalent. There was a survey done by UNICEF on this. Teenagers, 54% of them reported receiving upsetting messages. 49% of them, almost half of them, suffered from being exposed to rumors and gossip. 48% of them were called names. 30%, one-third, received threatening messages. 25%, one-quarter, received sexual remarks about our children. 13% had other people posting photos about them that are unflattering. 9% of them were bullied, recorded, and posted online. Do you know how damaging this is? For your child and my child and our children to be publicly humiliated. The Quran speaks about humiliation, calls it khizyun. You know what khizyun is? Khizyun is something you suffer on the day of Qiyamah. And Qiyamah, one of the punishments of Qiyamah, it's not just fire and heat and all these things. One of the punishments of Qiyamah is what? You stand before all of mankind and you are humiliated for a life wasted. Our children are experiencing khizyun right now on this dunya. And it's not uncommon. It's becoming the norm. The second thing I want to address. So the first wolf, cyberbullying. The second thing I want to address is something called sexting. Sexting is when people post naked photos of themselves and they send to each other. There was a young girl in the USA, her name was Jessie Logan from Ohio. She sent a semi-naked photo of herself to her boyfriend because they're in love. That's how relationships work. If you want to stay in the relationship, you've got to do what the guy says. So he wants the photo, you must send him the photo. That's how the deal works nowadays, if you didn't know. After the breakup, because these things come to an end, this young man starts circulating these photos about this young girl. This young girl suffered cyberbullying because of this, abuse because of this. This young girl couldn't deal with this, and eventually she killed herself. Nothing happened to another girl, 13-year-old, Hope Witzel. She liked the boy, she sent a topless photo, because that's how the young people think. The boy that she liked showed it to her whole class via the social media. After weeks and weeks of taunts, this girl committed suicide. How common is this? There was a study did by UCT, a study did in Cape Town at 4 private schools. They surveyed all the teenagers in the school. Of those who are in a relationship, which is almost every teenager nowadays, of those that were in a relationship, 20% of them, 1 in 5, have sent naked pictures to their partners. I want to put that into context. If the school is 1,000 kids, which many schools are, and if they are all in relationships, that means there are 200 kids sending naked photos of their bodies up and down. It's a good chance it could be one of our daughters and one of our sons. It's not a good chance. It is definitely happening in our community. And some might reach the headlines, and most won't. Why? Because this is the pressure of the young people, especially of the young females. They're under pressure to please their partners. Even if they're 13, 14-year-old, and they know nothing about life, if you want to have some approval from the other gender, you need to expose yourself. And you know what's worse? What's worse is when maybe you grew up a long time ago, and you used to have a film and take it to the film shop for development. It's not like that anymore. The photos, if you send it out once, it gets multiplied 1,000 times. And you know what's worse? When the device dies, the photo doesn't die. Because now all the devices are linked to cloud storage. It's going to your Dropbox account and your Google Drive account, which means that those photos will never die. Of your son and your daughter, our sons and our daughters, what are we doing? Just imagine our sons and imagine that daughter of yours, imagine that son of yours exposing themselves in a moment of foolishness because they're young. Imagine that. It will never die. It will be sent to 3, 4, 5 people, and they will send it to 5 people, and it will be on different cloud storage. You can't get it back. And it will lie there forever. This is the seriousness of what is happening. And I do a lot of youth work. Why? Because it burns my heart. It hurts me to see a child who is 14, 15, 16 destroy their life when they're so young. They have their whole life ahead of them. Why destroy your life now?
They are wolves. The third wolf I want to speak about are cyber groomers. Cyber groomers are generally males between 25 and 40. They prey on mostly young girls and sometimes young boys. And they enter into your children's chat rooms, and they read your children's Facebook profiles and Instagram profiles, and they see that like this group and this band and this movie, and they strike up a conversation with your sons and your daughters, and they have a four-step process. They have studied these things. They have a four-step process. The first step is they introduce themselves. They make the connection. And they often do their research. The second step is that they start building trust with our children, with these young girls, these old men coming, pretending, they often pretend to be younger. They post a fake photo and they pretend to be younger, and they start building trust. How do they build trust? They start complimenting the young girl. You're so mature, you're so beautiful, you're so this, you're so that. And you know which girls especially fall for it? The girls that don't have a strong relationship with their fathers, because they have a vacuum in their heart, and anything will fill that vacuum. And they build up this trust until this person, and they tell this girl, keep this a secret, don't tell your parents. The third step is they arrange a meeting. They arrange a meeting with your child. In the park, in the mall. They meet your child, they flatter your child, they buy them gifts. And the fourth stage is manipulation, seduction, and abuse. The abuse is either physical or it's virtual. And once it starts, the child is in a trap because they threaten the child, blackmail the child. This is not uncommon. This is not uncommon. Another survey by UNICEF, 17% of children, they were asked for sexual information. 31% of them received unwanted messages about sex. 23% of them were asked online to do something sexual. 23%, one quarter. We are the shepherds, and there are wolves out there. This is not some light matter. This is a serious matter. The fourth wolf is exposure to pornography. In a South African survey, 64% of teens between 13 and 17 have viewed pornography. 64%. 38% of them intentionally, and the rest unintentionally. They did a survey of young people. Amongst young people, 42% of teens don't view it as something wrong. So if your child goes to a school of 1,000 people, 420 of those children think there's no problem in viewing it. It's something completely normal. That is not even suitable for an adult, let alone a child. I bring this to our attention, why? I bring this to our attention, why? Is because all of our children are starting to engage in this, use these devices. And in these devices lay a great danger. And one of the first steps you have to be as a father and as a mother and as a parent, as a guardian, as a custodian, is be aware of the dangers you are exposing your child to. That's the first step. Don't be naive. Don't just abscond from your duty. All the children have it is fine. I have a responsible child. You don't have a responsible child. One of the worst things that parents do is they overestimate. They overestimate their own children. My child, never. She would never message a boy. No. Don't underestimate your own children. In fact, scientifically, they have felt that the prefrontal cortex, this part of your brain, in Arabic called the nasia, the front part of your head here, this part here is made for rational decisions. It thinks about consequence. This is not fully developed in teenagehood. Teenagers cannot process fully consequence of the action. That comes later. Even biologically, it comes later. I want to end the Jumu'ah. And I want to say, I didn't come here just to scare you. I brought the facts. If you want, I can give you the references. Or you can Google them. They're freely available. This is not some sort of anecdotal evidence. This is empirical evidence. These are real dangers. My question, my appeal is, let's be responsible shepherds. I'm going to mention five things quickly, briefly, just to start the discussion. Number one, remember finding the balance, guarding and exposure. I understand that your children need to interact with us. I understand they need to check their projects and do their research and check YouTube and Google things and chat to their classmates. I understand that. Number one, you need to educate your children on what is responsible use. And one of the most important things you need to do about your child is what is appropriate use, what is public and what is private. For example, my dear child, posting yourself in your pajamas, that's not appropriate. Because that's the latest trend. Take a photo, post it, just walk up like this in my pajamas. It's a thing. Number two, my child, it's not appropriate for you to chat to strangers on this. Number three, my child, it's not appropriate for you to meet someone who's a stranger. You think your child has common sense. The lines are completely blurred. There is no idea of what is public and what is private. There's no idea about, because we're just hooking up. We're just meeting up in the mall quickly. It's a problem. Your children don't understand what responsible use is. So between yourselves and your children, before you even give them access, agree with them what is responsible use. You can Google it. Look on the internet for internet contracts, cell phone contracts, not from MTN, contracts between you and your child. That gives you guidelines on how to help them, educate them. And they must sign the contract, they must agree, and there must be consequences. Number two, when you give your child devices, alhamdulillah, there's lots of filtering software, safe search software, monitoring software. There are a lot of parental tools that I guarantee that 99% of this masjid are not using. Because remember, this is more dangerous than the handgun. It's probably safer to give your child a handgun than to give them this. This can destroy someone's iman. This can destroy someone's dunya and akhirah. So at least have some tools. Have some tools. There are tools available. We don't have time to go into them. Number three, I would advise also that you locate your devices personally, and it's very personal, yours, your choice. My choice is, my children are not going to bed with devices. You're not going to lie under the blankets there in your room in the dark chatting to anybody. That's my choice. I'm not saying it's your choice. You're a parent, you make your choices. So inshallah, one day if my children need to use something, we're going to buy a nice big screen and put it in the lounge. And there's no passwords on that account. And if you want to do any research, bismillah, there's the research with the appropriate software on there. There are options. There are options. Because the question is, do you know your children's passwords? Like just for example, the fathers of old, if you want to get to the daughter, what must you come? Who's standing at the door? The password, dear. You can't just walk into the house. The fathers of old, if you had to get to the daughter, you must, the father's there. Who are you? What are you doing in my house? What are you looking for? The question is, who's speaking to your daughters? Do you know? Who have they met in the last few months? Where have they been meeting up? What have they been chatting about? Which pictures have they been sharing? The idea of privacy between you and your children is personal. But my child, if she's 13, there's nothing private about your phone. That's my choice. If you're a 13-year-old girl, there's private. What do you mean private? Daddy's private. No, it's not private. You're in a private conversation, call your friend over and you can talk in the room private. That's fine. That's private. Again, that's your choice. That's your choice. Fourth thing is, I believe we need to limit the use of this. For example, Maghrib or 8 o'clock, hand in your devices. No one goes to bed, no device time, put it in the room here. Or you have a family phone, we share it if we go out. Or you have a dumb phone, not a smartphone. Dumb phone is just SMS phone, that's all right. You can go to soccer practice, take this phone with you. Let's end time also. Let's take them. I want to end and I want to say this, lots to discuss. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Kullukum ra'in. All of you, and especially your fathers and your mothers and your guardians, all of you are shepherds. And you need to take your flock because you are the man of the house and you are the woman of the house. And you need to take charge of your flock. We are not a nation here of absent fathers. We are fathers who are present. We are fathers who care about our children. We are fathers here to guide them and to protect them and to educate them in a healthy space about this world. Don't fool yourself. Kullukum ra'in. All of you are shepherds. And every single one of you, you will be asked, you will be questioned about what did you do with this great gift? This beautiful gift Allah has given you. Allah has given you a ruh and a soul to nurture. Allah has given you two. Allah has given you three. Allah has placed them under your care. It is a great responsibility. It's an enormous responsibility. So it's time that we as a community, we take it seriously. And collectively we find the balance. Collectively we find the balance. May Allah guide us, may Allah protect all of us. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sallam wa alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.